And what a joy again to be at church. And as we look in Psalm 73, you remember last week we were in this, and maybe you had a chance to read through the psalm, and if not, I challenge you maybe to do it before next week. If the Lord continues to lead, I'll preach another message from this psalm before or next week before we finish up. But looking at Psalm 73, as you find your place there in Psalm 73, I did hear this story about this sheriff from Texas. He was looking for this bank robber. Somebody actually hit a lot of things and robbed some places. And so he went down. He was looking for a bank robber named Jose Rivera. And so he went down place after place across the border and said who he was looking for. Finally, he came to this bar. And he asked the bartender, he said, "I'm looking for Jose Rivera." And he said, "He's here." And he pointed back that way. And he said, "All right, I'm going back there." And the bartender said, "He doesn't speak any English." And he said, "Well, you do, and you speak Spanish, so you come be my interpreter." And he said, "Well, all right." And he went back there to him. He said, "I want to know where that money is you stole from the bank." And he didn't say anything. He said, "I want to know where it is." And he interpreted. He said, "I want to know where it is." He interpreted again. He said, "If you don't tell me where it is, I'm going to shoot you." He told him that, and still no answer. He said, "I'm going to shoot you, then drag you out and be a spectacle to everybody in this town." And he didn't say anything. And he said, I mean it." Finally, the bank robber, he said, "Well, you go outside and out the door, and there's a well over at the center of town, and halfway between that well and the biggest tree in town, 100 paces," he said, "tell him that I buried the box in there, all the money's in there." And he says, "Now tell him that and tell him, leave me alone." So the interpreter had quite a decision here to make. He just heard all that information too. So he thought, maybe my chance. He said, "Shoot him." So I want to preach a little while, Psalm 73, verse number 18. We're looking at 18 down to 25, and I want to preach a message entitled, "We're Not Home Yet." There's an old song that this gospel group says, "We're not home yet, children." I mentioned it last week, and I listened part of it again this week as I was getting ready for today, and I'm reminded of what the psalmist says. We look at this wonderful psalm again, and this psalmist was disillusioned because he was living right and wasn't getting blessed for it. Other people were living wicked, and they seemed to be prospering. And verse number 18, though, continues on, from his trip to the sanctuary. He said, "Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I'm continually with thee, and thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterwards receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And who there is, and there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee." Again, I want to preach for just a little while about this. We're not home yet, and I trust the Lord will bless us today. Father, be with us now in these moments, and I pray that you would bless us indeed from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. This psalmist, as I recall from last week, he was disillusioned because the wicked were prospering and he was doing everything right and he wasn't prospering very much. But then you remember when we got to verse number 17, it says, "But then when I went into the sanctuary of God, I discovered or I understood their end," and then it all came into view. It came into focus. About like the Apostle Paul in the New Testament when he says, "When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." There's a lot of things that come into focus the more you look and the more you mature. And then in this case, when you get close to the Lord. I grew up in West Virginia, and I grew up most of my life in Ripley area, but I was born in Wheeling, which is in the northern panhandle up in the state, if you ever look at the map. And so Wellsburg was our little town. Well, Wellsburg, Follansbee, Weirton was up the road, and West Liberty, and all these little burgs. There was one favorite local pizza place, and that was DiCarlo's. It was my favorite, that's for sure. But it was a favorite of a lot of people. Me and my cousin, we used to compete who would eat the most. They didn't have regular triangle slices. They had square pieces. It was good. It had crispy crust on the bottom that had a little airy part in the middle, and then the sauce wasn't real heavy, and then they waited to put the mozzarella cheese on after they cooked it, and then they just really boxed it and sent it to you. I'm getting hungry right now. I don't know about you, but the Lord's really working in this sermon, I tell you. But my cousin and I, we would compete who could eat the most of those little slices, little square slices. And so we'd get up 9, 10, 11, 12, 20-some pieces. And then I don't do that anymore. I've become wiser and a lower metabolism, so I don't do that as much as I used to. But it was good. But in that same way, now that I'm mature and I don't have the metabolism I did when I was a kid, then I would eat more in moderation. But almost in that same fashion, the psalmist here is saying that I used to, when I was looking at the elementary level, I used to look at the people who were doing wrong and I saw that they were prospering. But then I grew up. And then I saw in verse 18, God, thou didst set them in slippery places. The psalmist got a better view back in verse number 17 when he went into the sanctuary. And this morning, we know that there are people who mock God. They mock His order. They mock His power. They mock His very existence. But I want you to look at a couple of things as we look into it today. And I want you to see, first of all, the destruction of the wicked. In verse number 18, he says, surely thou set them in slippery places. Verse number 19, how are they brought into desolation? And verse number 20, as a dream when one awakest, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. There are folks in this nation that we live in right now who think you'd be much better off not to sit in a church service, much better off not to have religion in something that you do. Ann Gaylor, who's the founder of the Freedom From Religion Foundation in Wisconsin, says this, to be free from religion is an advantage for individuals, and it's a necessity for government. There are people who assume that by you adhering to the fact that there's a God, by you coming and admitting that you're not the top one, that there is somebody, someone greater than you. And I think about it like this. As you walk out on your back deck in the morning and you look at the beauty that God's put out there, we live in a great spot right over here. As I look back over Margie Hale's field and I look at the woods back behind there, you may not come and say, well, look at all that beauty. I'm going to go to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church this morning. But I believe if you looked at that with honesty, you may not say, I'm going to go to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church or some other church, but I believe that you would say, there is somebody greater than me. You may not come to the full conclusion. It may just start you on an investigation to find out all the things. But when you look at the beauty out here, you've got to see. We live in the most beautiful place in the world, I believe. And when you look at the beauty of our area, you've got to say to yourself, wow, I am not the top dog on this pole. I see the destruction of the wicked. And God says, or the psalmist says to God, he says, thou didst set them in slippery places. And we see there's many people today that shake their fist at God. And I want you to understand this morning that the very fist they shake and the ability to shake it is given by God. What a long-suffering God we serve. That at the name of Jesus, the Bible says in the book of Philippians, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Everybody will bow before the Lord and acknowledge Him as the Savior. Now, some of them, it will be too late. Their opportunity to be saved will have already passed. They'll be standing before the Lord. I see the destruction of the wicked here is listed in these verses of the psalm. One of the most famous atheists in the biologist world is a man named Richard Dawkins. He's well known for his criticism of intelligent design and creationism. I listened to an interview that he was interviewed by an Anglican pastor in England. And Richard Dawkins, given much of his life to deny that God created, there was intelligent design, the God delusion, and he has great followings of people that want to deny God along with him. He said in this interview on the BBC that he said, you Christians, many of you wouldn't even know what the name of the first gospel was. And trying to stump this pastor and indicate that because these people weren't any more educated on what they say, changed their whole life, that they're a Christian. Trying to indicate that since they didn't know any more about that, then they really didn't hold it dear to them. This pastor asked Dawkins, he said, you're familiar, you're with the origin of species. And he said, yes, of course. And he said, it's not the full title, the book by Charles Darwin, The Origin of Species. He said, that's not the full title. Could you tell me the full title? And he said, yes, I know it's a longer title than that. And he said, yes, it's a, and he stumbled and he said, it's something about the selection, and he couldn't remember all of it. And under his breath, you can hear it, you can look it up on YouTube, under his breath, he was thinking, stumbled over, he said, oh, and then he put the Lord's name right there. And then tried to remember what the rest of it was. I just found it ironic that the person that spends much of his life trying to convince people that there is no God, even under his breath, calls upon a God to help him remember a book that got him to a position to believe that there is no God. And my friend, I'm just saying that the Lord will not come down from his lofty position, regardless of what the world says, regardless of how many people are vehement against his existence. You see that the Lord is not concerned about his position one bit. I see the destruction of the wicked listed there in those first few verses, but I want you to look in verse number 21, and I see also the realization of the believer. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins, meaning it shook me to the very core. So foolish was I to be thinking about the prosperity of the wicked, to be thinking about I wasn't making it right. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. And then he realizes, verse number 23, nevertheless, I'm continually with thee. The psalmist said, I not only see the end of the God denier in those first few verses we looked at, but I also see at the end of verse number 23 that thou holdest me by my right hand. I'm not only safe, God has taken me by my hand. And if you connect that on to the New Testament, God says further, I've got you in my hand. And his hand is in the Father's hand, and no man can pluck you out. I see the realization of the believer that he says in verse number 23, thou hast hold me by my right hand. Now, let me illustrate this. I haven't met a kid yet that when you're walking to a hospital or to a church or to some other area, if there's a wall that's 2 or 3 foot high, but what that kid doesn't want to hop up on that wall and walk because that puts him in a better, he or she gets to see things they haven't seen before. They're taller than they ever have before. They're closer to your height, especially if it gets up to 3 or 4 feet. They always want to be up there. But I notice this, the taller it gets, the more that they want to reach out the hand and hold dad or mom's hand as they're walking. Because then they feel safe and secure. They can get that vantage point, but just in case something goes awry, somebody greater than them has a hold of him. And then I look at verse number 23 when he says, thou hast holden me by my right hand. And the realization of the believer is that God has got every part of your life taken care of. My friend, we serve an almighty God. And when you look out and you see people who aren't getting what you think they deserve, or you're getting some things that you don't think you deserve, can I remind you, as the old preacher said, back when everybody got paid weekly, can I remind you what that old preacher said? God doesn't always pay on Fridays. And sometimes, right or wrong, that payment is a little delayed in getting there. But the psalmist has his realization that I'm holding by the hand of God, and that makes it all well. I want to show you this last thing in verse number 25. Not only the realization, but then I want you to see the end of the redeemed. Because he says, when whom have I in heaven but thee? Question mark. And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Not only do we see the realization of the believer that I've got God, but I also realize the end of the believer is heaven. Now, we'll sing about it and we'll preach about it and we'll think about the wonderful streets of gold in heaven. But my friend, I'm not most excited about the streets of gold. We'll talk about the walls of jasper. We'll talk about those sardius stones. We'll talk about the gates of pearl. But this morning, we're not looking at all of the extras in heaven. We're looking at what the scripture says in verse number 25, as he says to the psalmist, says to God, whom have I in heaven except for thee? And I'm not dwelling on those streets of gold or those walls of jasper, but I'm dwelling on my Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you're a believer in this room today, I challenge you to just let that soak down deep in on side of you, that you'll see that Savior that went to the cross for you. I often laugh when people tell me, I'm going to ask the Apostle Paul why he didn't do this. I'm going to make sure that was eye trouble that he had that thorn in the flesh. Or they'll go back and say, I'm going to ask Moses. Boy, I tell you, those bunch of rebels, those bunch of Israelites, I'm going to ask Moses this. Or I'm going to ask Elijah what it was like to go up in that chariot of fire. Or I'm going to ask Lazarus what in the world he was thinking when God brought him back from wherever he was at while he was dead for a while. But I don't think we'll be asking any of those questions. Number one, we have a glorified body. I figure God will figure it all out, or not let us figure it all out. But I think if we do ask those questions, it probably won't be for the first several thousand years, because I think we'll just want to sit and worship Jesus. And I realize when he says the end of the redeemed and we get in heaven, I believe it'll be a peaceful place. Brother Barr said he'll be out of a job. I'll be out of a job as well. And different people will be out of a job when we get there. And we understand the peace and the comfort that will be in heaven. But I'm not relishing in that peace and comfort. Oh, I am. But I'm relishing more in the source of that peace and comfort, because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's the God of all comfort. And we'll be in comfort. We'll be in peace. Not because God dished a little bit of out to us, but because we are with the Lord Jesus Christ, I see the end of the redeemed. Psalm 48:14 says this, for this God is our God forever and forever. He will be our guide even unto death. Can I give you one more part about this verse? He says that, whom have I in heaven except for thee? And then he goes on to say, and there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. He says, I've got my eyes on heaven, and I'm looking forward to being there one of these days. Who do I have in heaven except for you? But he says this as well. Not only am I looking forward to that, but I'm not having too bad a time down here. And my friend, as a believer in Christ, with all of the extras that you get, with all of the fringe benefits you get, whatever you want to call it, with all of the things that come along with Jesus Christ being your Savior, you and I have a little bit of heaven to go to heaven in. It's nothing like what it's going to be there, but it's just a little bit of a taste. It's like your mama when she was making your favorite dish, and she gives you just a little bit and says, now get on out of here. You can't have any more till we ring the bell. Just give you a little bit of a taste. And the psalmist says, not only am I looking forward to having you, the only one, who else would I have, but I also realize upon this earth there's none that I desire beside thee. And if you're a believer and you are focusing too much on what's around us instead of what's above and before us, no wonder you're in a bad shape. If you're a believer and you spend all of your time looking upon what's going on in this world and looking upon all the negative things, as I've mentioned before, used to be when they came on the nightly news, everybody knew, don't get in front of the TV set at 6 o'clock. That's when nightly news came on. Dad was like, get out of my light, get out of my light, get out of my light. I don't think he cared about us kids at all when the news was on. Dad, I'm your baby boy. I don't care. Get out of the way. And those newscasters come on, as one old preacher said, and they tell you, they say good evening, and then they proceed to tell you why it's not. We're watching too much. I'm not saying you're watching too much news. That's fine. But we ought to make sure that that's in its right perspective. Because if we're spending too much time thinking about what this world's having going on and not enough time about what's going on in that world, then, my friend, we're a miserable Christian. I don't mean you're a miserable Christian. I mean we're Christians that are miserable because we're looking at these surroundings to try to give us peace and comfort. Since when did this world become able to give us peace? Since when did this old world system comfort your soul? Never has been able to, and never will. And that's what the psalmist is saying here. He says, not only am I looking to you, there's none other in heaven but thee, but also upon this earth, there's none that I desire more than thee. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free, the old song says. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. My friend, we're not home yet. And maybe you've come today and God brought you here just to remind you that if you're looking at this world for satisfaction, or you're looking to this world for peace, or you're looking to this world for some kind of comfort, you are trying to get out of an entity, the world, what that entity cannot deliver. You don't go to Lowe's unless you want some building supplies, things that they market. You don't go there if you're hungry, unless you're just going to live on the peanuts and the Coke and the things up there at the front cash register. If you want a steak, you don't go there. But in that same way, you don't go to Texas Roadhouse if you want to get 2x4s. You go where the entity can deliver what you're looking for. And some of us are looking for peace out of this world. This world's never been able to give that. But God can. And the psalmist says, whom do I have in heaven but thee? He said, not only have I dwelt on you long enough to realize that it's not only you in heaven, but now there's nobody on this earth that I want to dwell with either, more than with you. So if you're looking at this world to give you peace, give you comfort, you are looking in a wrong place, because as a Christian, we're not home yet. I'll give you one last story that would illustrate. I heard it years ago, and I rehearsed it this week. I re-listened to it. There was a retiring missionary coming home from Africa. Back in the days of when Teddy Roosevelt was also on the same ship coming across from a big game hunt in Africa. And this missionary couple noticed that there were people everywhere trying to get just a view of the entourage that was there with the president. And the missionary couple, after they'd spent years in Africa serving the Lord, the missionary couple, the man said this, something's wrong. She said, what do you mean? He said, nobody on this ship gives two hoots about us, but everybody's trying to get a view of the president. All he's back for was a game hunt, and we've been there for souls. And she said, well, honey, you shouldn't feel that way. And he says, well, I do. All of us get sideways. Well, the ship came and docked in New York. And just like you would imagine, the bands played. The mayor was there to receive the president. There were ticker tapes. It was in all of the newspapers to be there for the return of the president. No one noticed the missionary couple. They were just in the mass of other people, and they made their way off the ship, and they were going to have to get some work, and they got a little flat on the east side of the city, hoping to do something that would help them make a living for the rest of their life, because although they had to return home, they still didn't have any retirement. They still had to do something. That night, the man still couldn't get over it. He told his wife, says, God's not treating us fairly. And she said to him, you need to take that up to God. If you've got a wife like that that reminds you of that, you've got a good one. And she said, you ought to just go and talk to him. And so he went in the bedroom. And he just poured his heart out to the Lord. And after some time, he came back to the room where his wife was, and his face was noticeably different. And she said, well? He said, well, God settled it for me. And she said, really, what happened? And he said, well, I told God how bitter I was when the president received all of that welcome and nobody was there to return to welcome us as we returned home. And she said, and? And she said, I waited for a while, and when I was finished, it was as if God reached from heaven, although he didn't, but as if he reached from heaven and put his hand on my shoulder and said, son, you're not home yet. And some of us want the welcome from this world, but this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And my friend, when we get too busy looking at the prosperity of those people who live in a way contrary to what the Word of God says, you can get yourself so off kilter, but you're better off just coming back to what the Scripture says. And you see the end of the redeemed, and you see the end of the person that rejects God. And so this morning, as a born-again believer, if you're getting disillusioned with the world like the psalmist did, I'll tell you the same thing that we gathered this morning. We're not home yet. This isn't it. This isn't the end. And if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, oh, you believe about Him, you know who He was, but He's not your Savior, He's not your Lord. If that's you, my friend, I want to remind you, this is not all there is. If you're going along happy-go-lucky, thinking life's just wonderful and denying God, my friend, this is as good as it's ever going to get for you. Because the Bible teaches that there's only two destinations for everybody in mankind, either a wonderful place in heaven with God or a horrible place separated from Him in a place called hell. And those, the Bible says, what should it profit a man if he'd gain the whole world yet lose his own soul? The obvious answer is it would do him no good. And if you're here this morning, not sure that you're saved, don't know Jesus as your Savior, my friend, today is the best day you could ever come to faith in Jesus Christ. It's more than just I checked that box. It's more than that. It's a heart issue where you believe on Christ that He was who He said He was. He was the Savior, and you want to make Him your Savior for the forgiver of your sins. So if you're unsaved, today's the day. And my friend, if you're saved, and you've been looking at the world, you've been seeing how beneficial everybody is, or how they get benefits, and they're wicked, just like the Scripture says. Remember, we are not home yet. Father, bless us now is our prayer. I pray, dear Lord, that You would help each of us remember that this is not all there is. Lord, there are folks that are living hard after the pleasures of this world. And Lord, I'm afraid they'll be sorely disappointed. I pray, dear Lord, for friends of mine and friends of the people in this room that they're far from You. Lord, they wouldn't be in this church for any amount of money. Lord, I pray that You would convict them and save them before it's eternally too late. And Lord, I pray if there's somebody here or somebody listening or watching that's not sure that Christ is their Savior, Lord, I pray today is the day of salvation, and I pray today they would put their belief, their faith, their trust in Jesus as Savior. And Lord, if there's Christian friends of mine, or maybe not friends, I don't know them yet, they're listening. They've been looking at the wicked. They've been looking how they prosper. Today, I pray that they would get it settled with You. Lord, we're going to leave all that to You. We're simply going to trust. And remember that we're not home yet. Bless us, I pray, in Jesus' name. If you're able to, would you stand together with us as our ladies play something through? And if God spoke to your heart, I invite you to come. Perhaps you're here and the Lord has put it on you today to just remind you that this isn't all there is. Would you word that prayer to the Lord? Lord, help me to keep my eyes on You, not on what's going on in this world. Perhaps you're here and you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven. My friend, this world is not all there is. This life, as thrilling as it may be, is very small. Eternity is extremely long. If you're not sure that Christ is your Savior, would you step out and come? We'll have somebody down here at the front to meet you. Just show you from the Word of God. If you're a lady would deal with you. A man would deal with you. Show you from the Word of God how you'd be sure you've got your faith in Jesus Christ. If that's you today, would you step out and come? Maybe there's some other need that you have. You feel led to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. The Lord has already moved upon your heart. Would you come and present yourself for membership? As she continues to play through, if God's speaking to your heart, step out. Maybe you need to be baptized. You're saved, but you've never followed Christ in baptism. Would you step out and come? Whatever your need is. As she plays through one more verse, if God speaks to your heart, I invite you to come. As we close today, right there where you are, I believe all of us have a little bit of what this psalmist was feeling in us. We look and say, why do the good people suffer and the wicked prosper? Could I just challenge you to make a commitment right there to the Lord? Say, Lord, I'm going to leave all those things to you. I'm going to leave that thinking to you. Your ways are higher than my ways. That's what the scripture says. And Lord, help me have that more mature way of looking at it, which all of us struggle with, and leave it to you. I believe the Lord brought you here for a purpose. Maybe it's just to remind you that this is not all there is. You can go home rejoicing. Who do I have in heaven but thee, dear Lord? And who would I have on this earth that I'd rather be with than you? The answer, of course, no one. May God bless it to our hearts. Thank you. May look this way. I'm going to ask Brother Shannon Barker, if you don't mind, to come in to the pulpit and dismiss us in prayer. And as he comes, and then we'll dismiss in prayer, I challenge you to get to talk to a few folks on the way out and bear one other's burdens. And then I'll be back at the back. If I can do anything for any of you, then I'll be there certainly glad to do it. Brother Shannon, won't you come on up and pray for us? And thank you so much for being in church. After he prays, you're dismissed.
Lord, help us to keep our focus on Christ. Thank you. Help us to see the things in this world in light of Christ. And Lord, help us to live a life as a Christian. Lord, help our lives to be a light unto others.
Thank you, man.
And Lord, help us to get our thoughts and our minds off the things of this world and focus on our Savior. Thank you for this morning.
Amen.
We pray, Lord, you'll help us to go safely away and come back tonight's service. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.